Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Daniel in Exile, a first-person presentation of the prophet Daniel.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from Daniel chapter 1. If you would like to follow along, you may find the passage on page 716 in your pew Bible. Daniel 1, verses 1 through 8. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord let King Jehoiakim of Judah fall into his power, as well as some of the vessels of the house of God. These he brought to the land of Shinar and placed the vessels in the treasury of his gods. Then the king commanded his palace master, Ashpenaz, to bring some of the Israelites of the royal family and of the nobility, young men without physical defect and handsome, versed in every branch of wisdom, endowed with knowledge and insight, and competent to serve in the king's palace. They were to be taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the royal rations of food and wine. They were to be educated for 3 years so that at the end of that time they could be stationed in the king's court. Among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the tribe of Judah. The palace master gave them other names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the royal rations of food and wine, so he asked the palace master to allow him not to defile himself. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Perhaps you've heard the saying, all gods have clay feet, save one. I learned that lesson when I was just a child, and it has been repeated to me frequently throughout my life. And it's particularly important to remember that when you live in a nation that is not your own, among a people who do not worship the God that you worship and are hostile to that God, among a people who would gladly draw you away from worshiping the true God in order to worship gods that are not gods at all. Now, there is only one God with no clay feet. All the others are insufficient. I was part of the first wave of exiles that were taken out of our homeland of Judah. My family and I were taken when King Nebuchadnezzar came with his Babylonian armies. They took us out of our homeland and brought us here, to Babylon. And here we have remained a captive people. I was also part of a small group of young men whom King Nebuchadnezzar chose to raise up in his court. He wanted to teach us the language, the arts, the culture, the ways of the Babylonian people, and so that we could then serve in his court and could become ambassadors, emissaries throughout the empire on his behalf. He invited us to live in the royal palace and eat of the royal food. So each day we would be brought these rich foods and fine wines, which we refused to eat because we knew that it was not kosher food. And I also had the sneaking suspicion that the meat that was offered to us had also previously been offered to idols. And so I went to Ashpenaz, our handler, if you will, and asked him if perhaps we could try eating only vegetables and water for 10 days to see how we would fare with our other classmates. And Ashpenaz at first refused our request. He thought that if we started to fall back in our studies, that he would then be punished by the king. So we negotiated this 10 days of this diet rather than the king's diet. And at the end of that time, my friends and I were proved to be stronger and healthier and sharper than any of our other classmates. And so we were allowed to continue over that 3-year period where we were being instructed and educated. Indoctrinated might be a better word for it, in the ways of the Babylonian people. You see, they were intending to make us Babylonians. They did anything they could to rid us of our Judaic understanding of life or family life. They even changed our names. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Daniel. But in the king's court, they called me Belteshazzar. My friends, they changed their names and gave them unusual names. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These were my classmates. These were my friends. And together we went through the entirety of the 3-year training period, and at the end of it, we were found to be healthier and stronger and wiser than any of the others. In fact, we were told 10 times wiser than any of the others. And so King Nebuchadnezzar gave us places of authority and responsibility in his court. I never really got to know Nebuchadnezzar, except one time he had a dream. And he wanted to know the meaning of his dream, so he called together all of his magicians and sorcerers, all of his wise men who were not wise men at all. And he asked them to tell him the interpretation of his dream, but he did so in a curious way. He refused to tell them what the dream was. He just wanted them to interpret it. Well, of course they couldn't do it. And so these men, who even were instructors of ours, were in a great panic, and I asked if perhaps I might be able to help them. They told the circumstance they were in, and so I asked for a period of days, and then I began to pray. And I spoke with my friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we prayed together, and God, in fact, gave me a vision of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And so I asked for an audience with the king. And he said, "So I understand, Belteshazzar, that you can interpret my dream." And I said, "No, Your Majesty, I cannot. But the God I worship can." And then I began to tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream. I said, "O Majesty, in your dream you saw a statue, and the head of the statue was made of gold, and the arms and the shoulders were made of silver, and the torso of bronze, and the legs of iron and clay. And as the statue stood, there was a great stone that rolled out of a mountain, and as it rolled down the mountain, it struck the statue at its feet and crushed the statue. And then the stone continued to get larger and larger until it filled the entire earth." Well, Nebuchadnezzar was amazed that I understood his dream. And then he wanted to know what the interpretation of it was. I know he wanted me to tell him how great he was, to flatter him as all of his other wise men do. But I refused. Instead, I told him the truth. I said, "Your dream is instruction to you that your empire will fall and others will succeed you. You, O Nebuchadnezzar, are the head, made of gold. But following you, your empire will be divided in two, and those will be the Medes and the Persians, the arms and the shoulders of silver. Following them will be the Greeks, the torso made of bronze, and following the Greeks will come the Romans, the legs and feet made of iron and clay. Hence the saying, 'All gods have clay feet save one.'" Well, Nebuchadnezzar was more than impressed. He was amazed, really, by my interpretation of the dream, but somehow he didn't get the message of it, for shortly thereafter he constructed, or had constructed, a statue of himself that was 90 feet tall. And the instruction was, when the trumpets sound, everyone in the kingdom was to kneel down and worship the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. which of course we would never do. And yet on the day that the trumpets sounded for the first time, I happened to be away on the king's business in another portion of the province, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my friends, were there. So when the trumpet sounded, everyone in the empire knelt, except for my three friends. And immediately they were arrested. They were taken before King Nebuchadnezzar, who was absolutely furious with them. You see, he thought that they would be examples to everyone else of how it was to offer obeisance to the king. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not, even under the threat of being thrown into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with them, he ordered that the furnace be stoked 7 times hotter than it normally was. In fact, it was so hot that when the soldiers opened the door of the furnace to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, the soldiers were consumed, but my friends were undeterred. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, "If God chooses to deliver us, so be it. But if he chooses not to deliver us, we will bow down to no other." With that, Nebuchadnezzar threw my friends into the furnace. And as he sat and watched them, he saw not the three of them, but a fourth walking with them in the midst of the flames. Immediately he called for the fires to be quenched, opened the doors again, and out came my friends. Not a hair was singed. Their clothing didn't even smell of smoke. Nebuchadnezzar was so impressed, he made an announcement to all the empire that everyone should bow down before the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think that's the first time, and perhaps the only time I can remember, defiance of the king actually was a promotion for my friends. They were given greater positions of authority and responsibility in the king's service. Nebuchadnezzar, though, died shortly thereafter after a serious illness of his own. Following him on the throne was his son, King Belshazzar. And again, I had an encounter with Belshazzar from a most unusual experience. One night, King Belshazzar was hosting a dinner party at the palace. And in the midst of the party, there was a human hand that rose up and began to write on the plaster of the wall behind the head table. Now, this was prompted because Belshazzar did something that was tremendously foolish. In the midst of the dinner party, he called for the vessels that had been taken out of the temple in Jerusalem to be brought so that he could use them to serve his guests. Think of it in this way. You're having a dinner party, and so you take this communion set and serve your guests at home. It defiled our God, it defamed our God, and the judgment came quickly. So as Belshazzar saw this writing on the wall, it was in a language he didn't understand. So again, he called his magicians, his sorcerers, his wise men, and none of them could read the words. So they called me. I came and saw the writing on the wall. It said, "Mene, mene, tekel, parson." And King Belshazzar said, "Can you interpret it?" And I said, "Indeed I can." "Mene means your days have been numbered and soon come to an end." "Mene, mene," it's repeated twice, which means it is fixed, it is certain to happen. "Mene, mene, tekel, you, O king, have been weighed on the scales of justice and have been found wanting." "Mene, mene, tekel, parson, parson. The time of your kingdom has come to an end. It will be divided in two." And that night, King Belshazzar died. And a new king, King Darius the Mede, assumed the throne. Darius is a good man. He has been kind to me and to my friends and to our people. He has continued to promote us and use us in the work of the kingdom. But just because one is close with the king doesn't mean you are on the right side of those who are closest to the king. And so these aides of the king, perhaps out of jealousy, perhaps weighing on the ego of King Darius, they encouraged him to sign a law, to make an edict, that for 30 days no one could bow down or worship any god except for King Darius himself. And Darius signed the edict, and as soon as he did, I knew the trap was set. You see, these individuals knew that every day, three times a day, I went to my room, I knelt at my window, I faced towards my homeland of Jerusalem, I prayed then to the one true God. And last night, after the edict had been signed, as I was kneeling and praying, I, like my friends before me, was arrested and was taken to King Darius. The threat of the law was if you were found praying in this way, you would be thrown into the lion's den. And that was the sentence that was imposed on me. And I could tell that Darius was disappointed, not just in me, but in the action he had taken, for the action had implications for the likes of me and my people. And so as I was being taken away from Darius last evening, his words to me were these: "O Daniel, may the God that you worship and serve so faithfully deliver you." So here I stand before you now, about to become breakfast for some very hungry beasts. If the king chooses to change his mind, that would be good. If God chooses to deliver me, he has the power to do so. But just like my friends before me, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I will say that if God chooses to deliver me, so be it. But if he chooses not to deliver me, I will bow down before no other. You see, when you live in a land that is not your own, when you live among a people who are hostile to your faith, when you live among a people who would gladly have you turned away from your God to worship gods that are no gods at all, you must know where you stand and what you believe. For I believe in the one true God, and I believe that God is faithful still. You see, all gods have clay feet save one, and that is the God I worship. This is the prophecy told to us in the book of Daniel. Thanks be to God. Now, before we go, you might be wondering how the story ends. King Darius spent a restless night. So first thing the next morning, he rushed towards the lion's den to see if Daniel was okay. "Daniel, Daniel, are you all right?" And in fact, Daniel was just fine. Through the night, an angel of the Lord had sealed the mouths of the lions. That is, until Daniel was extracted from the den and the aides of King Darius were placed in it. Then Darius did a most interesting thing. He issued another decree, and it read in this way: "I make a decree that in all my royal dominion people shall tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, for he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." Friends, may we, like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, live in the full confidence of faith and bear witness to the God, the only God who does not have clay feet. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit be with you all, both this day and forevermore. Amen and amen. Go in his peace.